If you want a little show and you don't know where to go, put on your headphones and hit the mark.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy. Of course, giant, awesome thank you to Andy Beckerman and Lindsay Arbor. Both those were great episodes. You seem to love listening to them. I love doing them. I mean, also episodes like Lindsay, where there's someone that I've known for over 13 years. That's incredible. And the response has been great for everything. And I'm just really happy, like, guys. Like, I'm in a really good spot with this podcast right now mentally. And I hope you guys are in a good spot listening to it mentally. It's been a fun few years and it's still going. It's like the end. No, it's not the end, guys. I promise you at least we have four more episodes. More than four. But I have like four more in the line coming, no matter what. So, whatever. But you know what, guys? I'm happy this podcast isn't going anywhere. It sounds like it is. It's not. England has taken over America because England loves my podcast. I'm amazed by that. It makes me very happy. Thank you, England. All over England. That's amazing to me. I don't know how it's happened, but it's happened. My performing arts podcast has taken over England. We are bigger than the Beatles. No, that's not true. But, you know, there's many ways to support the show. If you want, the easiest way is, you know, iTunes can rate us, review us, give us a 5-star review. In fact, if you say, for today's t-shirt, if you say this, because, you know, no one's ever done it, but if you go on iTunes, rate us, review us 5 stars, and write down in your review, Hit the Mark is better than the Beatles. You will get yourself a free Hit the Mark t-shirt. Just email that photo to hempod@gmail.com, and we'll send you a free shirt. You know, it helps the show and helps the Beatles. Well, do the Beatles really need help? No, they're the Beatles. Hit the Mark could use help. That's all I'm saying about that. Also, of course, you know, Zazzle. We have a store there where you can buy shirts, hats, mugs, whatever you want. If you want, it will be there. If you want Hit the Mark condoms, I'm sure I can make them. If I could make Hit the Mark condoms, that'd be awesome. I'm not going to lie about that. That'd be pretty fucking cool. Having my name on your dick or your partner's dick or whatever will be fun. And we'll all be in the sex together. Yeah! Yeah. And I just scared my guest dog a little bit there, but that's fine. Okay. And of course, you know, there's no way you can support the show. If you go hitthemark.podomatic.com, you'll see every episode there. Almost 200 episodes, kind of the unnumbered ones. And on the right side, you will see a PayPal button. You can donate as much or as little as you want. It all supports the show, all helps the show. Today's guest I'm actually going to introduce right now because we're not doing a normal movie review because I don't want to do a normal movie review. As you know, I'm a big movie nerd. But I will plug a book really quickly, The Martian by Andy Weir. It came out like 2 years ago. It fully hits the market right in 5 days. In fact, you'll see me online reading it in a web series. Well, web video. That'll be coming out probably, hopefully, around when this episode drops. I'll give you more information maybe. I'll give you more information. Might give you more information. It might be in a few weeks, though. But that doesn't matter. It's an amazing book, The Martian. If you're into sci-fi with really good science, that book is incredible. So it hits the mark. I want to do that before we go into like our bigger movie review-ish section today. Today's guest, as you probably realize, is Mike Kelton. He is so fucking funny. One of the great improvisers in the city. He is on the Lloyd Team Witch. He's on UCB Torco. So he's all over America doing comedy. In fact, I saw him in front of like what looked like a fucking concert hall doing like a photo of that, like from the end of the year, which was insane. I think it was the end of the year. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. He is a host on VH1. Well, he is hosting for VH1. And he is also got the best website in the world, MikeKelton.com. And also an amazing Twitter, at Mike Kelton. Mike Kelton, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm so happy to have you, to be at your apartment.
I'm glad you're here.
Yes.
Yeah. As I told you, it's, for those listening, just picture the gayest apartment.
It's not that gay looking.
It's pretty gay. I feel like it's pretty gay, but I guess maybe it's not that gay.
I mean, it's mainly gay. That sounds so awkward.
Does it?
It sounded awkward how I said it. Someone just...
It's mainly gay.
Mainly. But, I mean, actually, like, the antler head, the... Like, it's kind of like... It feels like a Pier 1 catalog, but cooler.
Thank you. We like to think of more like West Elm, but okay, your one totally works.
I don't know West Elm at all.
You must. If West Elm is,
I mean, I know all of West Elm, but never been inside of West Elm.
Honestly, you just go in there, you just, like, feel good. As you know, I'm all about energy.
Yeah, yeah.
You go in there, you feel good energy. There's, like, nice colors. There's, like, air plants hanging. It's just really nice. Like, I don't know, it's just a weird, all like, right. Makes you feel relaxed. So
well, what's West Elm like? Like, since, like, Pier 1's kind of, like, weird, I don't know how to explain, like...
I feel like, to me, Pier 1 is, like, Midwestern housewife who, like, wants to pretend she lives in Brooklyn.
Okay. And West Elm is?
You live in Brooklyn.
All right. And you live in Brooklyn. I walked here because it's easier to walk here than it was to take the train.
Gowanus Canal.
I got a beautiful view of the canal.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, yeah.
I love that.
It was, I took down the 3rd Street Bridge one. And like, there's like a plant right next to it.
Yeah, it's a little bit scary. I feel like there could be bad stuff going on in that plant.
Well, like, because, I mean, whenever I go across the canal, I normally go by through Union. Because I live on Union, so. Uh-huh. But, like, I was like, oh, wow, that's a very different view.
Yeah. Very, very
whatever.
Different.
All right, so let's still dive in. So as people might know, the Oscar nominations came out a few days ago. But I have seen most of them, and Mike has not seen that many, but that doesn't matter. I want to talk about the Oscar nominations. I feel like, honestly, for the most part, they got pretty right.
I mean, because I told you I haven't seen that many of the movies, but I love movies. But I will say, there's a lot of controversy with the nominees coming out because Black Lives Matter.
Right, they do. And I do also believe that they should put their eggs in more than one basket, personally. Selma's a great film. I loved it. I really, really genuinely enjoyed it. I feel like they're selling themselves short by just putting all their eggs in basically one basket.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in a year like this where there was, honestly, Bradley Cooper is amazing in American Sniper. Mm-hmm. American Sniper, my personal opinion, is a pretty terrible film.
Mm-hmm.
I really wasn't a big fan of it. It was a little too propaganda.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy with that. My Facebook feed has literally been like, fuck the Oscars for them not,
right,
like, representing African Americans, and then it was like, fuck Sniper because it's propaganda.
Right. And I mean, I feel like Bradley Cooper isn't anything good in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was such a strong year for actors in leading roles that it was a little hard to nominate him in my personal opinion. I feel like he would have been like 7th.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I feel like it would have been David Oyelowo. I don't know how to say his name.
Oyelowo.
But he's got, like, his name is really hard to say. There's three O's in there and like a lot of Y's and W's. No, that's not a lot. It was like O W E L. No, I. Okay.
O-L.
It's Oy O Y. I'm just going to look this up.
Let's look it up.
I mean, I have the app on my. Granted, he wouldn't appear there. But actually, if I. Okay, so give me 1 second, guys. You know, we're getting ready for things. It's happening.
It's real life.
Yeah, guys, this is not that. We're not a polished podcast, in case you haven't realized. If you're looking for something polished, Malton on Movies. I really like that show a lot.
Yeah.
All right, so David Oyelowo. I've always said Oyelowo.
Okay, I would say, if I looked at this and I was, like, reading a teleprompter, I would say, David Oyelowo. I would fuck it up.
Yeah.
I would fuck it up like that lady was like, Dick Pope.
Which makes no sense, because...
Dick Poop, sorry, Dick Poop.
Dick Poop. Yeah, because Dick Pope is his real name.
But I guess if you look at Dick, you're thinking, like, private poop. Parts.
Okay.
And then I see Pope, and I'm thinking, poop.
Right.
So I could be like, I might be like... Dick butt, what comes out of a butt? Poop.
Okay.
Dick poop.
But, I mean, he's a famous cinematographer that's been around for a long time. So, but I do feel like the way that the nomination should have gone was Mr. Oyelowo. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I really should be laughing about that.
You should edit and just do beeps so people think we're saying, like, fuck cunt or something.
That would be pretty funny, but I'm afraid just because I have a very controversial stance on the whole situation with nominations, I don't want people to be like,
Totally.
And like I really have seen a lot of movies this year. Like I've seen a lot of movies this year. Like
you must.
I'm a big movie nerd, and I have a movie pass. So I used it yesterday. I saw 2 days, one night.
Wait, so you get free movies?
You get, so basically what you do is for $35 a month, you get a like a ATM-looking card. You get an app on your phone, and you can just go like 100 yards from a theater, select the movie you want to see, and then you see it. One movie a day.
Oh, my God.
It's a really good invention.
So you've probably seen so many movies.
I see a lot of movies because I'm a very lonely person.
No, but movies can be like people.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, no, but I've always been a big movie nerd. Always have. Like, I mean, I was really excited this year because I saw all 9 Best Picture nominees before before they were announced. So I'm like, sweet. All I have to do is just catch up on the acts on the acting categories, which I don't want to see The Juror, so I'm pretty much done.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I find it really interesting. Like, this year, I saw all the Best Actress nominees, and they're all pretty much strong, fragile women.
Hmm. That's a good way to describe a good actress.
Well, I mean, these roles are all really rich. They're all very strong. But, like, most of them, except for Felicity Jones and Theory of Everything, are dealing with some severe mental issue. I mean, or something that they can't control.
Isn't it fucked up that, like, women's, a lot of, like, strong women's roles are, like, bipolar people, or, like, the crazy mother, or, like, it's all, like, a lot of it's dealing with, like, mental illness.
I mean, I'm gonna pull up the sheet again, but, because I know that, like, Still Alice is all about Alzheimer's, and Theory of Everything is about a woman that's dealing with, Stephen Hawking becoming, with his Lou Gehrig's disease, which is terrible. Marion Cotillard in 2 Days, 1 Night deals with depression. Rosamund Pike in Gone Girl deals with a lot.
Oh, I did see that. I can't talk about
it. So it deals a lot crazy.
Well, yeah, she's out of her goddamn mind.
And Reese Witherspoon is dealing with heroin recovery and just a bad life.
I feel like she should have been nominated for Sweet Home Alabama.
Really?
No.
Look, did you see the alternate ending of the movie?
No, I did not.
So like it just got BuzzFeed this week. I was laughing so hard about it. Like it's like it starts off with the ending that you see like in the movies with like her ending up with Josh Lucas, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the movie in ages. Yeah.
But nobody has.
So except for you, clearly.
Because I watch it all the time.
Yeah, I know. But so like the ending, like the kiss, and then like it fades, and then it goes to like this wedding scene that they were at, I guess. It's just so long since I've seen the movie. But like the scene that I saw is like the original ending it looked like, and then like he's walking in, covered in rain, holding her limp body, and he's like, "She's dead."
Stop.
Wait, it gets better. And they're like, "No, no." Like everyone's genuinely sad, and then she moves, like, ah, like it was a prank.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That is insane.
Also, while we're on the subject of, like, mental issues, I really want to talk about, like, the guys. Because, you know what? This year is a lot of mental issues for the best actor and best actress. Because Steve Carell, Foxcatcher, dealt with, like, craziness. Bradley Cooper in American Sniper PTSD. Benedict Cumberbatch in the Imitation Game. Oh, boy. He dealt with a lot of stuff. being not allowed to be who he was is I think the biggest one. Michael Keaton in Birdman, which is probably my favorite movie of the year. I haven't decided yet.
Oh, wow.
He is possibly insane in that movie.
Yeah.
And Eddie Redmayne in Theory of Everything, he gets Lou Gehrig's disease.
Fuck. Everyone's losing it.
While on the other hand, Best Supporting Actor, from what I understand, pretty much everyone's sane. Or angry.
That's the thing, like, a supporting actor has got to be the one who's, like, helping the person who's losing it. So they're usually kind of, like, the voice of reason.
And also, supporting actress also, like...
But not with women, they're the crazy best friend.
Out of the 5 best supporting actresses, Patricia Arquette, she plays a mom in Boyhood, who's just dealing with divorce, who I think she's going to win also, personally.
Okay. Because that's the one where, like, she did it, like... It was like a 10-year span 12
years.
For filming.
Yeah. Laura Dern for Wild, where her character is similar to Reese Witherspoon's. She plays her mother.
Sweet Home Alabama?
And Wild, I guess. Keira Knightley in Imitation Game, which I was surprised she got nominated, but it was a weak year for supporting actress. Emma Stone, which was incredible in Birdman.
She's a really good actress.
And, of course, Meryl Streep.
I did see Meryl Streep in Into the Woods. And I will say, I didn't love it.
I didn't hate Into the Woods. I feel like they did the best PG version of it they could.
Yeah, I think it was pretty. It was like PG. It was like brought down. But the messages in the movie are so good. In the musical,
right?
In the book and libretto are beautiful, and it they're really hard hitting issues
exactly.
with like death and revenge and want and as human beings, what are we at our core? We're like we're just vengeful, spiteful, selfish people.
Yeah. And I feel like the movie kept most of it. I feel like it lost some of it, but I thought Meryl Streep came off pretty much almost the best movie, although I feel like Emily Blunt was amazing.
Emily Blunt.
And I really also enjoyed Johnny Depp for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
Granted, he's only in the movie for 5 minutes, but his Johnny Deppisms work for the movie.
Oh, he's great. I mean, like, if you're doing a movie with a big budget and you need a crazy person, you get Johnny Depp.
Exactly. All right. So what we're going to do, because I want to wrap this segment up because I want
to
dive into Mike Kelton.
Love it.
So what we're going to do right now is I'm going to say the nominees. You're going to tell me.
And I pick the winner.
And I will also pick my personal winner after you because I've seen all the nominees of these six categories we've done.
And I haven't, so mine will definitely be much more accurate.
All right. Of course. So Best Picture, American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Imitation Game, Selma, Theory of Everything, and Whiplash.
I'm going to say Grand Budapest.
I'm going to say Boyhood, although I would love for Birdman to win. Those two are like two perfect films, in my personal opinion.
Okay.
Now, Best Director has two of my favorite directors on it that are not Scorsese, which I'm very happy about. Wes Anderson for Grand Budapest Hotel. Alejandro González Iñárritu for Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. The full title, though, which I hate the full title, but it's great. Richard Linklater for Boyhood, Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher, and Morten Tildum for Imitation Game.
I'm going to have to go with Wes Anderson. I think it was, one of them that I saw.
Yeah.
I'll just vote for things I saw.
Oh, so that's fine.
I like Wes Anderson.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to go with Alejandro González Iñárritu for Birdman. Best Actor, Steve Carell for Foxcatcher, Bradley Cooper, American Sniper, Benedict Cumberbatch, Imitation Game, Michael Keaton, Birdman, Eddie Redmayne, Theory of Everything.
Michael Keaton.
I'm going for Michael Keaton, too. Also, in fact, my parents are going to hate that I did this, but I'm betting money on Michael Keaton winning this award.
Oh, I'll bet.
I'll
bet some fucking Monopoly money on that right now.
I literally have a wager with a friend of mine that she says Eddie Redmayne's going to win, and I say Michael Keaton's going to win. So, it's not a lot of money, Mom and Dad. It's not a lot of money. Best Actress, Marion Cotillard, 2 Days, 1 Night, Felicity Jones, Theory of Everything, Julianne Moore, Still Alice, Rosamund Pike, Gone Girl, Reese Witherspoon, Wild.
The girl in Gone Girl.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Julianne Moore, Still Alice. She's won every major award and Still Alice is treacherous. All right. We're almost there, don't worry. Best Supporting Actor, Robert Duvall, The Judge, Ethan Hawke, Boyhood, Edward Norton, Birdman, Mark Ruffalo, Foxcatcher, J.K. Simmons, Whiplash.
Ooh, J.K. Simmons. Anyone with letters in their names, I love it to death.
And also, well, you know that he's amazing in every movie.
Oh, I didn't, but I love his letters.
All right, well, have you seen the original Spider-Man movies?
Yeah.
He's J. Jonah Smith, so.
Oh, he's the best.
He's an amazing actor.
He'll win it.
But he's also, like, as a character actor myself, I get very happy when character actors get great roles and great acclaim, and he's been killing it with the awards, and he's amazing at Whiplash.
And he has J.K. in his name.
Exactly, because he's just kidding Simmons.
Thank you!
Alright, so Best Supporting Actress, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Laura Dern for Wild, Keira Knightley, Imitation Game, Emma Stone, Birdman, or Meryl Streep, Into the Woods?
Definitely not Meryl Streep. I'm going to go with Emma Stone in Birdman.
Patricia Arquette, Boyhood. Awesome!
Love
all it. Right, so if any of those are correct, awesome.
I love that.
You know what, guys? It was fun. And thank you for listening to us talk about Oscars for 15 minutes. So, Mike.
Yeah,
how you doing today?
Really good,
Good to hear. It's funny, because it's like my first time, like, venturing into Carroll Gardens.
Oh,
whenever
it's
I go
best.
Across the canal, it's merely, like, to walk to the Cobble Hill Cinema.
Uh-huh.
or the Court Street Theater.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Like, both awesome places. Yeah. So it's funny, when I used to work a sales job, a coworker of mine was like, you should live in Carroll Gardens. And I was like, I'm not leaving the island of Manhattan.
Where were you living before?
Well, actually, when I said that, I was living in Jersey City, which is hysterical. but then I moved to Hell's Kitchen, and I lived in Hell's Kitchen with my brother for 2 years.
That's nice.
It was nice, but I just got sick of it because when I left my apartment, I hated, like, seeing people. Like, I was like, I want my privacy. I want to feel like I'm in a neighborhood.
Well, I mean, if you're in Hell's Kitchen, it's like, it's pretty much, like, the most open neighborhood there is.
Yeah, and it's just, like, party, party, party. And I'm very much, like, popcorn, Diet Coke, and Netflix kind of person.
Yeah.
So I ended up coming out to Carroll Gardens with my boyfriend, and we just walked around, and we were like, this is it. And then we got a broker and got an apartment.
Nice. It's a nice apartment.
Thanks.
Like I said earlier.
Thanks, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So, you know what, let's open up the floodgates.
Let
Mike Kelton in. Okay.
I love
So what was, like, your big comedy and acting inspirations growing up? Because I know you come from an acting background, because you're a great actor, too.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
You're welcome.
I disagree.
I really like you as an actor, man.
Thanks.
I think you're fucking hilarious as a human being and also a really good actor.
That is so nice, Mark.
It's true, though. Like, you come from the theater background, right?
Yeah. I studied musical theater in college.
Where at?
University of Michigan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was very fun. I had a lot of fun. I had too much fun in college. But it was great. So I ended up doing, like, musical theater, and I think my training, they were always like, be more serious, like, be more leading man. And I just, like, heard that, and, like a good improviser.
Because you're a damn good looking man.
Thank you.
You're a really good looking
man.
That's
very nice. You
can easily
be
a great musical theater leading man.
Thank you.
And maybe also like a classic comedy leading man.
Oh, I love that.
Like, not like, I'm thinking, like, you can't take it with you kind of class.
Oh, yeah. Totally, yeah. But the problem is, I am an insane brain. Like, I'm a wackadoo. So,
I mean, you do comedy with Morgan Miller a lot.
Which,
and Morgan Miller is a goddess. And
she's a goddess.
Yeah. She's crazy.
She's the best.
Yeah.
And we're nuts. I'm just like,
yeah.
So in my brain, I was like, I have all these, like, weird ideas, and I just, like, I want to be silly. I want to be a character actor. I want to be myself, which was not like this, like, you know, hi, like, I'm on a boat.
So wait, because
like, that's like leading men.
All leading men are on boats.
No. I literally specifically was thinking of Showboat, and they made me sing this song. It was like, it was about like being in love but not saying you're in love, like that old, like, Roger and
Hammerstein. Oh, Jesus.
Thing.
Like, half, like, the songs of, like, Cole Porter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We don't love each other, but we do.
In Act Two.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
So I, like, found my way, and I was like, I hate this. I want to be, like, myself. And I just kept feeling this pull of, like, I want to be me. I want to break out as me. And so then I did my own web series when I got to New York. And then I, like, stopped doing music theater and wanted to do comedy.
Right.
And once I found comedy and, like, I started becoming much more comfortable with hosting and being a weirdo.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's good to, like, to know yourself well enough to be like, hey, even though, like, I would get cast a lot of times as a leading man, this is what I am.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best thing to do.
Yeah. You have to be honest always with, like, performing and as a human being, or else you're going to be fucked.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you live your life in a weird secret or whatever, don't.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
It's much better not doing it.
So, wait, like, so let's, like, rewind.
Okay.
So, like, when you were a kid, you're from Michigan, right?
No, I'm from Westchester County, New
York. Westchester, okay. So, when you were growing up, what was, like, your big, like, comedy or acting? Because, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, that was a question I didn't
answer. No, it's fine.
I loved watching Will Ferrell on SNL.
Yeah, same here.
I fucking ate it up. And I also loved watching Late Night with my dad growing up. We would watch Conan. Big fans of Conan.
Of course. You can't not be and be our age.
Exactly. Conan, to me, is like the epitome of, like, he's a smart comedian, but he's also silly and self-deprecating.
Right.
And I love that in a host and a comedian. That's something that, like, inspires me to do what I'm doing, to be like, because I think people are comfortable with Conan in a way that they're not with other people, like, not as with Jay Leno, because he is the first person to make fun of himself. And so they know when
he's... And J-Lo takes himself very seriously.
Yeah, and he's kind of had this air, and I think Jay Leno is a great comedian, a great person, but he has this air of, like, I'm the best. And I think you can't. If you're a host and you're in control of, like, you know, talking to people and asking them about serious things, you can't have this air of I'm the best, or else they're not going to share with you the secrets.
Exactly. I mean, like, you have to, like, be self-deprecating. You have to be like, be a human. So
just honest.
I mean, that's part of the reason I actually record the way I record the show. I mean, I'm not saying, like, I can't be honest with the headphones on, but, like, I feel like I'd rather, as a podcast host, get an actual conversation out of someone instead of what I feel like would be a radio show.
Totally. I completely agree. Because then people have their guard up and they're trying to be like,
I first found comedy, you know, like...
I first found comedy in the cold winter of 1989.
When I was 2 years old!
It was a cold winter.
It was a cold winter. I was drinking my formula. Yeah.
I miss your baby Mike Kelton.
So funny, because I thought I would think like I was like a crazy kid.
Oh, I was. I was definitely crazy.
My parents were like, no, you were like just, you loved eating and sleeping.
I'm the only child. I've always been crazy.
Really?
And then my parents always been like, be happy. So, like...
don't force being happy. That's not good.
Well, I mean, they're not like, be happy. Like, they're like, be happy. Do what you gotta do to be happy.
Oh, that's good. That's great. Yeah, my parents are very much like that too, and I'm always very grateful that they are supportive because we do is not... I mean, it's very funny. My brother and I... My brother's the best guy in the world, but we're very similar but also very different.
Uh-huh.
My brother was in the military, did 4 tours in Afghanistan.
Wow.
Has a Purple Heart.
Holy wow.
Then went to NYU Stern and is now working at Morgan Stanley. Like, he's a very...
That's the exact opposite of you.
Yeah. Like, he's very type A... He's like, I'm a hard worker, but in a different way. He's a very hard worker, and he's like a great guy, but that is, I wouldn't want to do any of that. Like, none of that interests me.
I mean,
at
I respect
all.
That so much.
Yeah, like, of course.
Like, I mean, as you know, I do a lot of work at auctions and stuff like that, like charity groups, and we've done a lot for like military bands and stuff, and like, I have so much respect for those people.
Oh, they're the best.
There's nothing like, I have only respect for the military. And, like, the people in the forces, and I'm just like, because I would never be able to do that, you know?
Yeah, but if someone stood in front of me and yelled at my face to, like, whatever, make my bed, I would be like, this is too much, I have to go, and also, you shouldn't speak to people like that. Like, I would, like I just wouldn't fit in that setting.
Yeah, and I would also cry, and probably, like, do something bad to myself.
I would be out of there in a second. And I would probably convince other people to leave too. I'd be like, you don't deserve this.
I just like the vision of you like in the military. Like, guys, we have to get out of here.
I think it'd be a funny movie.
I think you would in the army now too.
Yeah, exactly. But like, so we're very different and but my parents are both very supportive of what we do, which is why I think we were able to like follow our passions and we're both like doing something very specific and hard, but we're doing it. And I think that's, like, kudos to my parents for being so awesome.
Oh, what's like growing up in Westchester?
You know, people have a lot of money, and people are snooty, and you just have this, like, warped view of how society works because people have a lot of money. It was hard for us. We were, like, we grew up very, like, middle class, but in Westchester, that's low class.
Right.
And so we always had to pretend, basically, my mom always pretended like we had more money. Like, we were in, like credit card, like, a lot of debt growing up.
Oh, boy.
But, like, we were just trying to, like, keep up with the image of, like, fitting into this Westchester society. And, you know, my parents, I think they did it because they were like, we don't want you to feel lesser than.
Yeah.
But, like, looking back, it was bananas. Like...
It's funny because I had, like, the same type of thing to a certain extent, like, in Miami. Like, I went to, like, a really upper-class Jewish day school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, like, firmly middle class. And, like, And also then we moved to, like, a nice part of the city. And, you know, we were, like, middle class there. And then, like, became a really nice part of the city.
Totally.
And then we were still, like, middle class.
Totally,
and,
Yeah. And it's, like, what do you do? Do you, like...
Do you put on?
Totally. Yeah. And it's interesting now because doing comedy is all about being honest. and not putting up a front in any way, because that's when people stop laughing, when they feel you're not being genuine.
Right.
Even with doing, like, a crazy character, you'd, like, genuinely do that character. But I think, going back, like, I don't want to raise my kids if we're, you know, if we don't have a lot of money. Like, they'll know to some extent that, like, hey, that costs money and we can't afford it, but, like, but we'll do this instead and it won't cost that much money, but we'll still have a blast. Exactly. Like, we don't need money to have fun or enjoy our lives.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, I feel like the real riches of life come from the heart and love.
I hope you guys wrote that down. That was the most beautiful thing. The real riches of life come from the heart. And that's so true.
It's true, though. I mean, like, I'm not rich, but, I mean, I'm around my friends a lot. Mm-hmm. And I watch a lot of movies on MoviePass, and yeah, I'm happy.
If you look at wealth in terms of not just a nominal thing, I think you can find wealth in, like, there's all those, like, quotes that depressed people post on Instagram. like I'm surrounded by friends, so I'm the wealthiest person in the world. But, like, in a way, I think I put up a Facebook status like that once, so, like, fuck me. But I think it's so true. I think that, you know, money doesn't determine wealth or happiness. No. Well, I know that firsthand because I've worked for a lot of wealthy people. I used to be an assistant for a very wealthy woman, and she was not happy a lot, and she had so much, and it was hard to... Sometimes I had to convince her to be like, hey, I just want to remind you that you're, like, one of the luckiest people in the world.
Right, right.
And she's like, but, I don't know, I couldn't make it to yoga today, and, you know, my husband won't talk to me, and I'm like, ugh, fuck.
You're like, I can make it to yoga any day.
I can't afford yoga.
Yeah. And she's like, my soul cycle is running out.
Yeah. Yeah. She didn't do soul cycle, but, like, that kind of thing makes me sick to my stomach.
Soul cycle?
No, like, the idea of people, like, not seeing things for what they are.
Right, I agree about that.
Or getting lost in, like, you know, being a wealthy
person. So, I always like to ask, since I know you're, like, from a theater background, what was, like, your big role in high school?
I was...
Curly in Oklahoma.
No, although
Oh, you'd be a great Curly, though. No.
I love to be Curly. I was the Cinderella's Prince in Into the Woods my senior year of
That's a great show and a great role for you.
And it was so fucking fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Cinderella's Prince is the better Prince role.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Although Rapunzel's Prince is one I know who plays the wolf, right? I think so.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. But awesome, man. Yeah. So you went to a really good musical theater college.
Yeah.
Like a really elite musical theater college.
Yes.
Like, so was that, like, exciting when you got into that? Like, was it, like, really intense?
Totally. I was 18 and I thought I was, like,
the shit.
Famous.
Yeah.
I was like, I got into Michigan. I'm going to go nail it. And then I think I just got ahead of myself a little bit. And I, like... I don't know, I got there and, like, my love changed. I stopped being in love with musical theater, as I think is natural. I think you're, like, what your interests change. But I, like, started, I got confused because I also wasn't the best. And I came from a high school where I was, and it fucked with me. And then I was very good at looking to the side and comparing myself to people, which I think was a big mistake and a really good lesson to learn in college. That, like, don't compare yourself to anybody. You're your own being an artist, and another person's success is not your failure.
I fully agree. I mean, like, it's so weird, like, when you think about, like, stuff like that, because you and me have both been in this improv community for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I know up until recently you weren't getting the success through the community that I'm sure that you deserved or wanted.
Thanks.
And, like, now you're getting the success. And, like, you know, you've been in this community a little bit longer than me, because I've been here almost 5 years. I think you started before me. Because I heard of you before I met you, like, for a long time.
I don't know when I think I started in 2011.
Oh, so you started after me. Never mind. But, I mean, like, you're one of those people that, like, I feel like was, like, on the fringe, like, I knew of. Because, like, Rita, like, you and Rita have been doing, like, Two Proud for such a long time.
I love
But, like, you're one of those people, like, I feel like had to make their own way.
Yeah, that's fair. I definitely feel like a lot of times people didn't understand, like, why I was funny.
Which
or
is
like,
weird, because you're so openly funny.
That's
like,
so
not
nice.
Like, I mean, like, I've never seen him be like, Mike Kelton's not funny.
That's
or
so
Mike
nice.
Kelton's not a good guy. Like, everyone's like, yeah, that dude's awesome and that dude's funny.
That's so nice. I think people didn't get me at first. Like, I was too much. I think I, like, Because I like doing something and hearing people go in the audience at Lloyd Knight. I enjoy hearing someone go, what? For me, that's the funniest thing, because it's like, you did something, you made a really strong move, you committed to it so hard, but people just didn't. And to me, that is like, really? That's like the ultimate funny thing you could do?
And your team was like, I guess we'll support them.
Yeah, we must support them. What else are we going to do?
Witch is like one of the more supportive teams out
there. Oh, the best. I'm obsessed with Witch.
Witch is like arguably my favorite Lloyd team right now.
Oh, that's so nice. I love playing with them. And like, it's been a learning process because it's a bunch of really strong voices. Wait, I'll finish this question.
Right.
So because like I liked to do stuff out of the box, even within like improv, which is very out of the box art form. I think some people were like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing, fuck him. But I always did stuff for a reason. I was never just like, fuck this, look at me, like, I want to do this thing. I always was doing it for a reason, but I think people missed it a lot, and then it made me feel stupid.
Okay.
But it wasn't until I took a class, well, Ari Vukitis was very supportive.
Ari Vukitis is a god.
The best. I'm obsessed with him.
A god. I miss him so much.
I love him to death. He was really helpful to me, because he... Before one of the shows, we were doing a warm-up, and we had to, like, do an initiation.
What show was this?
Like, an advanced study.
Oh, was it the...
It wasn't a performance one. Okay. It was a regular one.
All right.
And we did these warm-ups, and the suggestion was, like, string bean. And I walked out, and I was like, they call me string bean because my body's made of strings, and I'm a bean! And, like... He laughed, and, like, someone else walked out and, like, didn't know what to do, so they were like, okay, Greg, stop acting like a, you know. And then Ari stopped and was like, here's the thing, guys. Sometimes people can do that, and that's really funny. Just support it. Like, and I was like, oh, thank you, because I felt like an asshole when someone was like, stop doing this. I was like, oh, fuck. But then I took the organic class with Shannon O'Neill, and it was, like, truly the first time that someone, like, stopped a set and, like, was like, don't ignore that insane thing that Mike Kelson just said.
Yeah.
Say yes and to that.
Yeah.
And then we did. She, like, stopped a set. And then we did. And it started becoming so fun. And then I was, like, I felt supported in the way of, like, I wasn't being ignored. Because it was just, like, that guy's crazy.
Right.
Don't play with him. He's not, like, a, you know, straight white guy walking out and being, like, hey, Sal, I'm having trouble in the conference room. Because, like,
that's funny. Because, like, I'm, like... I'm not one of those players either. Like, I don't think like a normal human being.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, like, the game can sometimes be, like, your take on something.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I initiated a set with a lantern in my practice group, like, in my Fallen Sox practice last night. Like, ooh, the power's out. And then, like,
Patrick
lights on. And then, like, of course, when the lights turned on, we were in a giant bunker.
Amazing.
And, you know, that's, like, my bread and butter. Like, fucking crazy people. I love crazy.
It's the best. I mean... I think if you support anything, comedy will live. Like, anything lives in supporting someone else's idea.
I mean, that's part of the reason why even, like, me and Vince haven't done a show in a long time, but we made such a great name for ourselves in, like, 8 shows as a two-prod team, because we both chose insane characters and then created a world while in as those characters.
Exactly. You just committed to it.
Yeah.
And like, I think when I took Shannon's class... her support of, like, just people in general and saying yes to each other, but, like, supporting them as individuals. Like, everyone has a different brain, and she's like, that's what makes it work. You just be yourself and commit to that 100%. If you're the guy that's like, I'm going to help put things together and piece together, fuck, do that. You know what I mean? Do your thing 100%, and it's the best. It was, like, the most helpful thing out. And she's, like, a friend of mine, but so supportive. Yeah. I think her energy as artistic director is so good for the theater, because it's, like, a very supportive mama bear energy. Yeah.
Like, as you know, I think you know, I wrote a spank that went up in August. Went amazing notes. But she literally wrote in her notes, this is really great, it's not right for UCB.
Yeah.
So now I'm, like, reworking it for The Fringe right now. And it's awesome. I'm very happy with this longer version of it right now. And I hope we get in The Fringe, but...
That's awesome.
But, like, I mean, like, she's just being so supportive and, like, in a smart way, which I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is, too, because it's not someone taking your ideas and being like, I don't think this is funny. It's someone taking it and looking at it objectively and being like, this is great. All these ideas are great. formulaically great, yeah. but maybe for UCB it's not great, but do this.
But also, like, what I love about what she said at the theater is, I feel like the theater, Five by Word, got slightly stale, which is not a bad thing, but it became, like, this is our product.
Yeah.
And, like, the product, I don't know, fit necessarily what the... what we were, what the theater was selling.
Totally.
But, and I feel like she's done such a great job for, I don't want to say shaking it up, but shaking it up is the only way I can explain it. And that's also nothing against Nate Dern. I feel like this was way before Nate Dern took over. And, but, I mean, I don't know when, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, how I kind of felt a little rigid towards the end of Nate's run. Not Nate's fault. I will not call this Nate's fault, because Nate did a great job as AD.
Yeah.
But, like, it, and now it's like, I don't know what's going to happen next week at UCB.
Yeah, no, it's really cool to feel like
actually,
anything can happen.
I will talk about that later.
I love it. I will say, Nate Dern coaches Witch now, and I've
He's one of my favorite improvisers of all time.
I've never felt more supported by a coach, and he's unbelievable. I didn't really know him that well, because I only auditioned for him once, but I remember in my first audition for Harold, I did something so crazy, and he just was laughing hysterically. I probably broke all the rules that you should follow like, in my first audition. It was like another like string bean type thing. Yeah. Like the suggestion was Crystal, and and like no one was going out, and I had this idea. I was like, oh, this is fucked up, though. I don't want to like do this. So I walk out, and I was like, they call me Crystal, because I'm the best hairstylist in Istanbul. And I just like, I took my fingers and pretended they were scissors. Was bad mime work. I, like, made it about me.
Yeah.
And then, like, it was supported by my teammate, Alexis Rannan, who's unbelievable. But, like, I remember I was breaking all the rules, and then she's like, Alexis was like, oh, you're smoking, like, your thing. So I just took my cigarette. I was like, sure, it'll just be about 3 minutes. And I just stood there and, like, mind smoking and, like, blowing it in her face for, like, a good 2 minutes. And then at the end, I was like, do you have a boyfriend? And edit. Like,
nice.
It was, so I broke the rules, but he was laughing and really, really nice.
Like, Nate Dern is, like, what's my favorite member of San Dino of all time?
Yeah.
You've seen all of San Dino. Like,
I didn't see his iteration of
really?
It.
Really? Oh, Jesus. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I saw right before. I started used to be, like, I think right as he took over as AD.
Okay. So, like, right when he left San Dino, basically. Okay, cool. Oh, wait, before I go back, like, I always like to ask, like, again, like, what was your big meatiest role in college?
I didn't have one.
Okay.
I did merit
number 7.
Yeah, no, I was strong man in Carousel. I was Thug Ugly number 2 in Elemental P, a workshop musical.
Thug Ugly.
My senior year, they did Rent and this like workshop of a musical, and I really wanted to be in Rent.
Was that like one of the first productions of Rent like in college?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember like your school had. Yeah.
And the cast just came out. I just kept scrolling down on my BlackBerry, scrolling down. It was like Thug Ugly number 1, Kelsey Griffin, a friend of mine. Thug Ugly number 2, Mike Helton. And I was like, fuck this. Like, and I literally just like was a. Like a guard, basically, like a prison guard.
Oh, that sucks.
But I did get to play myself in my own one-man show, Late Night with Mike Helton, and it was, like, really insane. And looking back, like, kind of racist. Like, I think I wrote this song, like, called If I Were Black.
Oh, no.
And it was racist, but I, like, didn't... I was learning my comedy. Like, you know, you make mistakes, like... But if you were to go back now and, like, find that song, it's so offensive.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. But it killed. It really killed.
Oh, that's good. Now they say a giant white gay guy.
Singing If I Were Black.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's cool. So what brought you to UCB then?
I had an acting manager, and I was supposed to be in this on-camera class, and it was very hard to get in the class, so he emailed the teacher and got me a spot in the class. And then he's like, Mike, you have to go online and fill out this thing. I was like, totally. Of course, I procrastinated, forgot to do it. So it was the first day of class.
Yeah.
And I called the place at 101. I was like, hey, I forgot to fill out the sheet. They were like, oh, yeah, you didn't do it, so you're not in the class. And I freaked out. I was like, my manager's going to lose it. So then I looked online. I was like, oh, UCB is a thing, right? And I just saw there was a 101 class, so I signed up with Chelsea Clark because she mentioned cats in her bio. And then I took the class, and I literally was like, I took the drug, and I was...
Literally, hurt. And Chelsea Clark is, like, the perfect drug for you.
She's the perfect drug for me.
I think Chelsea Clark's one of my favorite human beings out there.
She's definitely one of my favorite
people. I get the weirdest history of Chelsea Clark. Mm-hmm. She subbed my 101 when Gabrus was going to South by Southwest for, like, some, like, cult humor thing. Uh-huh. She subbed my 201 when BP Coffee Spill came out. When John Frusciante was, like, on CNN. Then, like, we just knew each other for, like, a long time. And then I finally took her on advanced study, and I'm like, you are a human being that I need in my life as
much. Oh, she's the best.
She is amazing.
She's so supportive. She has, like, similar energy to, honestly, like, Shannon, in a way, where she's, like, really supportive, and she's like, you do your
different
thing.
Different comedy styles.
A little bit less, like, suck my cunt dick, you know, but, like, but so great.
Well, Chelsea's is, like, suck my, like...
Cat dick. Yeah.
My rainbow-colored cat dick.
Yes, and she's like, meow.
Oh, I have to help tell Chelsea to listen to this episode.
Oh, she must.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Chelsea.
Hey,
Chelsea.
Meow. Oh, that just got awkward and amazing. So, who was your 201 and all that stuff?
So, I took Chelsea, then Achilles.
Yeah.
They were dating at the time.
I really want to take one of his classes, too. I like Achilles a lot.
Achilles is thebomb.com.
I've
very smart. So helpful. Like, very smart.
Never been taught by him, but I've had many a great conversation with him.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah. And plus, he killed Ben Romeka, according to that photo.
Oh, yeah. I saw it on Facebook.
I was like, oh, wow. He either killed or made...
I think they probably just drank too much.
Yeah, that's
what. And now Ben Romeka's dead. Rest in peace.
God, can you imagine if Ben Romeka actually dies before this episode airs?
Well, then we honored him, so we must tag him.
All right.
It'll get a lot of views, or a lot of hits.
Oh, it's so funny, because, boy, there's so many things I could go with this, but I'm not.
No, go for it.
No, I don't want to.
Go for it.
No, I really don't want to, because it's going to sound like I profiteered off of a friend, and I'm not going to do that.
Profiting off of death is America.
Yeah, but I'm not America, Mark.
I mean, you saw the Whitney movie.
I didn't.
Okay, well, a lot of people did, and they were live-tweeting it. It basically was like...
It was like all about Bobby Brown, I heard.
Yeah, because he's an asshole. But it was like, this person died, let's make money off them.
I don't like that.
It's not great. It's not great.
All right, I wanted to talk, because, I mean, like, you're also on one of my favorite indie teams of, like, the recent memories.
Oh, my God, I love it.
Pulley is, like... How did Pulley get together?
Take full credit.
What?
I take full credit.
Right, yeah, you're the one that put it together, right?
So I was in my first advanced class with Ari, and it was the first day we were calling around, and Ari's like, you know, talk about your indie teams. I want to know what teams you guys are on and how often you perform.
He asks that, like, in, I think, every class.
And I was...
He cares, yeah.
I was like, I'm not on the team. I was like, and everyone's going around, and, like, AJ Patton and Max Cardillo was in the class,
of
and
course.
They were like...
They're like, they were out for a long time. They were like not. They were like attached to the hip.
Oh yeah, they're unbelievable. I love them.
They're amazing dudes. I love them.
So they were like talking about their indie teams. Everyone was like talking about their indie teams. Jack, sorry, that's my dog.
Well, Jack just like barked right in my ear.
He attacks. Yeah,
it's fine.
So we're talking about. Hold on, let me close the door real quick.
All right.
1 second.
No worries.
So.
Da-da-da. Ooh.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Pulley, so I was like, oh my god, I need an indie team.
But wait, wasn't Corey and Tobago together at the time?
Yes, we were. Yes, we were doing two projects.
Because you guys were,
like,
together for a long time before.
Yeah, we started when I was in, like, 401, I think.
Right.
But, so I was, like, freaking out because I didn't have an indie team, and I was very impressed with people, and I also was very nervous and self-conscious that people didn't think I was funny because I was crazy.
Okay.
So I always felt uncomfortable being like, and I thought I wasn't on any team because people didn't like me.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, I'm
not. I've had that opinion before for myself, too.
I'm not on a team because people just think I'm too nuts, and they're like, oh, he's just a crazy person.
Yeah.
And maybe they're laughing at me, not with me. Like, all those things go through.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, oh, no. And then, so then I emailed the people I thought were really funny in that class, and then a lot of people in my 401 who I also thought were funny, including Morgan Miller.
And who is one of the funniest human beings alive.
She's a princess.
If you guys don't know who Morgan Miller is, listen to the last episode last year.
You must. She's my writing partner and partner in life. So I emailed them, was like, hey, and Vince Moore was on this original email.
I think Vince told me about that too at one point, yeah.
And I was like, I love, I want to put this team together. And everyone was so on board, and Vince was like, I think he like just got on a team at this point.
I think Pompadour was getting pretty active at that time.
Yeah. And then he was like, I'm going to try my best. And we were like, look, dude, like no pressure at all. Just so we don't want you to feel stressed, so we put Andrew Warner on the team. And
similar style player to Vince, also.
Yeah, he's so great.
If you want to hear Andrew Warner, he has a whole arc in the DCM episode of this past year.
Oh, well, you must.
Yeah.
So, then
earlier episodes.
We got
and also AJ Patton did, another member of Pulley, has been on this show, too.
Basically, you got to get all of Pulley.
I would love to. I don't know a lot of Pulley. I don't know some of the girls on Pulley too well.
Well, I'll bring them. Because we're besties.
All right.
So we got together and we had a first rehearsal. I think Karen Hammerberg was our first coach. And it was so fun.
Yeah.
It was so crazy and so fun. But like insanity. It was.
I believe it.
So we just were like, literally one of our group games was like us jumping and being like, catch a bird in your mouth, catch a bird in your mouth. And we were like, it was the best. So then we started performing and we were killing it. And we were like, let's do a monthly. So then we did a monthly at Under Sea Marks for like a year.
Which is insane. Yeah,
insane. It's really expensive.
And also you guys were really a new team when you started. Right?
Yeah. We just were like, let's fucking do it. And then I think it was then that like we started having like house team performers play with us. And then we had teachers.
Yeah.
And then people just, I think, knew that we were forced to be reckoned with.
Well, I mean, like, when you look at Pulley, half of you guys are on house teams right now, right?
Yeah, almost. Me, three, Morgan, right? And Zach.
Yeah.
But, like, I think everyone will be
like, Alexis, I don't know well at all. I know once. But, like, she is the one amazing actress. And
unbelievable.
So, like, yeah.
Everyone on the team, I think, has, like, a real... One thing I...
Except for AJ.
AJ sucks.
AJ's really terrible in Hype Squad twice a month at UCB with horrible Timmy Wood.
AJ's the worst, and Timmy Wood's the worst. It's like
both horrible human beings.
Horrible
people. I saw them kick someone once.
Oh my god, I saw them kick someone once. So that's
we thing. Saw them kick someone
once. So anyway, yeah, so everyone's the worst.
In case you guys don't know, both are previous guests of the show, both of them loved.
They're the best.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Pulley's the best. I love them to death. And I really think, like, once I started performing with them, they were very supportive of, like, my moves. Uh-huh. And I felt more comfortable. I feel like Pulley taught me a lot how to improvise.
Okay. I believe that. Because, like, I feel like everyone at Pulley is so fucking talented. I feel like everyone was just kind of like a lump of a talent clay before Pulley.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, everyone just got shaped on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, this person is so fucking funny. All their movies are brilliant. Why are they... And then, like, 8 months later, oh, my God, they are actually just truly amazing now. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it helps to do a lot of reps, like, show reps.
Right.
I think being on the indie team, one of the best things is just, like, performing, like, once a month with them and then at other shows.
Yeah.
Was, like, super helpful in terms of, like, getting the nerves out. Because I still will find myself getting nervous sometimes. And then I'm like... Why? And then Torgo's been really helpful for that because it's like, it's been, that's good. It's been like so many people and like you become much more confident in the moves that you make.
Right. Like it's funny because I'm on a team right now, Fallon Sox, and just started performing, but like we're all like established-ish performers. Mm-hmm. Like we're all like been around for at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
All like we were practicing for 3 months before we did our first show. And like we drill so hard and we go fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
It's the best.
And it's amazing. Like, we've only done like 3 shows so far, but we have like 7 shows booked already.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Best time of your life.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the thing.
I think I've had a moment after a Triple Crown show once where we were like, it was like 1 in the morning on like a Thursday, or I guess it was Friday morning, and we were dancing to like that song, doo doo doo. Semi-Time Kernel Life. And we were just, like, drunk and dancing on that little stage. And they kept being like, you have to leave. And we were like, fuck you. And I was thinking, like, this is the best time of my life.
Yeah. All right. Let's, like, jump a little forward.
Okay.
So you're on the Lloyd team, which...
Love it.
Well, actually, you were on Detroit first. Yes. Which, let's talk about what it was like to get placed onto that team.
Oh, it's crazy.
Because I talked to Pat Regan about this also, because you guys were two of the first gentlemen on that team.
Yes. So I had just gotten back from L.A. like a month earlier from getting on Detroit, and I was like, I was like, I have to move to L.A. I love it out there. Like, yeah. I was tested for this show that was really exciting, and then I didn't end up getting
the show. What was the show, if you want to ask?
It was a show on the E! Network, and it was it didn't get picked up, but it was like a an internet, like a Chelsea Handler, but like for internet stuff.
Okay. Which you'd be great for.
Thanks. It was fun. I was crazy in the test, but like, you must. So I got back and I was kind of like down about not getting that show, and I was like, I think I need to move to LA, and like, yeah. I was rethinking everything. And then I got a call. I went to my mom's 25th year teaching anniversary up in Westchester, and you know, gave a speech with all like her girlfriends about like how my mom's a great teacher and you know she's so helpful. And then I'm in the car going back to the train, and my phone is ringing, and it's like a Colorado number, and I was like, "What the fuck is this?" And I pick up, and I was like, "Hello," and
it's like, "You said hello?"
I was like, "Who is this?" And it was like, "He's like, Nate Dern." I was like, "Hi, it's Nate Dern from the UCB Theater," and I go, "Shut the fuck up," and he goes, "No, it's Nate Dern, UCB Theater." I was like, "No, seriously, shut up," and he was like.
You're like the most angry person ever on the team, aren't you?
Probably. Also, like, I think I had 3 glasses of, like, white wine in my mom's thing. So I was feeling like a middle-aged woman, yeah. You know? So I was like, oh my god. And then he was like, so Mike, you know, a spot opened up on Detroit and I think it would be a great fit for you. I was like.
And that was your reaction to that, because at this point, Detroit was all women.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even think of it like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't cross my mind for a moment that it was like.
Because I know, like, Pat, like, was like, what?
Yeah, I think it was more sensitive to him because he just came out, like, right before that.
Who?
Pat Regan.
Oh, okay.
So he, like, thought it might have been, like, a gay thing.
Right.
But I didn't think twice about it, and I literally was like, shut up, Nate, I'm obsessed with you. And then he laughed, and I was like, okay, Nate, my phone's about to die, so I gotta go. But.
Yes, I accept.
I was like, yes, I accept, I'm obsessed with you, and he just was laughing, and I like, hung up on him. And it was so fun. But then, being on the team was so wonderful and a great learning experience, but I was scared.
Right.
And
were you, like, scared? Like, I bet you must have been terrified at first.
Oh, yeah, I felt like, I wanted to do it right. I was like, I want to be good. I want to do good Harold. And I don't think that really served a person like me.
Right.
Because I was, like, in my head a lot.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to do the right thing. And which is a different experience because I don't think I'm trying to do the right thing at all. I think I'm just, like, having fun.
Like, the way you play is, like, what's the most fun thing for the audience and fun for me?
Yeah.
Which I feel like is the right way as a performer should play.
I agree, because I think everyone's put there for a reason. They do a thing, whatever your thing is, and just do it. If you're having fun, the audience will have fun.
Yeah. And if I refuse to do a thing, like, if I'm not having fun.
Because then, what the fuck are you doing it
for? I will do my best to make it fun. I'm not going to be, like, seeing it in the scene and be like, no, I'm not having fun.
Totally. Yeah.
No.
Unless that's fun for you, because you could do that.
Right, but I mean, like, if someone's like, hey, look at me, I just killed an animal. No. Like,
no, that's not an animal. That's a can of soup. And then that's the best thing you've ever done in your
life. Yeah, of course. And it was, I did the Judith show on last Friday. And in the jam, one of the people initiated this, like, high-pitched voice like that. And I'm like, I'm going to fucking do this, like, times 10.
Yeah.
And, like, we had a yard sale on the scene.
Yes.
And the scene basically ended up me trying to sell Ace Ventura Pet Detective on VHS.
Unbelievable.
For, like, 2 minutes. Just be like, Ace Ventura Pet Detective!
That's unbelievable.
It was great. I loved it.
I bet it killed.
It did pretty darn good. I'm not going to lie about that.
Snail.
So, like, now you're on Witch, which I think is a fascinating team.
Thanks. I love them.
Witch. Everyone on Witch is just... I don't know how Witch... works. Like,
which
I mean in the best possible way.
Yeah, no.
Because you guys are all who's the most normal person on the Witch?
There is not one. I think
maybe Keaton?
No, Keaton's a fucking sociopath.
I know Keaton's crazy. I know Keaton's crazy.
He's a maniac. He's a crazy maniac. I think everyone is insane. I think maybe...
If you had to choose one sane person of which, who would it be?
I would say Dan Lepredo, but I also think he's insane.
No, he's insane.
Janie, but she's also a fucking maniac.
I don't know Janie that well, so she's kind of insane. She could be sane.
Janie's crazy.
I've heard. I've talked to her like 3 times in my entire life, so...
Janie's insane. Oh, here's a good example.
Okay.
I emailed everyone a Vine yesterday.
Okay.
Of this little girl.
Okay.
Being like, she's basically like, look at my face. I'm pretty. Look at my body. I'm skinny. I weigh 45 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
So it's like, it's this... insane Vine, and I emailed it to Witch, and the 3 girls responded, Jessie, Joe, and Janie. Jessie Jollis's response is, 45 pounds is the dream, and then Joe's response is, she poisoned my brain. Janie's response is, wise beyond her years. So those are 3 very clear, strong reactions to a really fucked up thing.
And that's also like... perfect for their senses of humor, too.
Exactly. So, yeah. They're all insane.
For those that don't know, a lot of which has been my podcast, I think more than half at this point, Jesse, Keaton, Joe, now you, Pat, who else am I forgetting? Who have I not
had? Dan Lepredo.
I've not had Dan Lepredo yet, unfortunately. He's, like, the only member of Grease I've not had on the show. No reason not to. I mean, I love the guy.
You must.
Janie, I've not had on. Who am I forgetting?
Janie, Joe, Jesse Jollis. Jesse Jollis?
I've had Jesse Jollis on.
Isn't she the best?
She's amazing. I had her and Tracy on the same episode.
Jesse Jollis is one of the funniest people.
I can't handle how funny she is.
I cannot.
Like...
I don't think she's even aware how funny
I think
she
she's aware she's funny... But I literally almost broke a seat watching Banana's first round at 3-on-3 this year. Like, I literally almost fell out of my seat. I was crying. I don't fall out of my seat.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Like, Jesse Jollis and Tracy together are like, you can't breathe.
Yeah.
But Jesse, like, the things that Jesse Jollis says, like, I don't know how she does
are to die for.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. She kills.
Yeah. I want to talk about you as a host, because I don't think I've ever had anyone like on the show that's a TV host, like try to be a TV host, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's always been like my dream.
I can tell.
I will not quit.
You're a giant ginger like Conan.
I'm a giant ginger like Conan. I just think it's like one of those things that I love talking, like you, I love talking to people. I think what makes me happiest is talking to people. I think it's the best thing in the world. I think we can connect more. I think, okay, this sounds so energy and, like, witchy, but, like,
no,
I think we can...
energy's cool.
I think we can all connect as human beings more so than we are right now.
Yeah.
And I think it's really fun for me to just, like, talk to people and do that. Yay. And that's why that's why I love that so much.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. And, yeah, like, I mean, okay, as human beings, the human condition, we want to connect with people, you know? And I feel like you're lying to yourself if you don't want to connect to people.
Well, I don't know. I feel like some people naturally don't.
Okay. Granted, I'm not one of those people, so I don't know what that means. But I can respect that.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing is we've all felt the same. We've all gone through the same emotions.
Right.
And it makes you feel better to know someone else has. Which is why, like, I mean, reality shows are so great because they, like, they poke fun at people, but,
what's your favorite one?
I mean, it's gotta be Housewives.
Okay. Because, like, I've always been into reality shows, like, secretly, which is a horrible thing as an actor, like, to admit that. Well, I mean, it takes away from jobs and stuff like that.
I guess, but who cares, because it's so entertaining.
I mean, I've been obsessed with Survivor for a very long time.
Yeah.
And, like, I was talking to my previous guest, Lindsay Arbor, about like, possibly submitting for Amazing Race together, because we've known each other for so fucking long.
You should.
But, like, Amazing Race is, like, is such a great show, you know?
I also feel like Amazing Race is only great for people that are, like, CrossFit athletes.
Which you know I'm not.
I know you're not, yeah.
I mean, the audience looks at me, like, hears my voice, like, yeah, that guy sounds like he's in shape.
Yeah, that's, like, but no, really, though, I think you can only do that if you're a fucking titan.
Well, I mean, like... Also, I'm terrified of heights, so like that like eliminate me from half the things.
I mean, that's your bigger, that's your first problem. Terrified of heights and Amazing Race just don't go together. Like, you would not be good on Fear Factor either. But like, I wouldn't be good on Fear Factor.
Most people wouldn't be. I mean, like,
Fear Factor was the craziest.
I love rewatching it though. Like, is there like eat dung beetles in dung beetle crap? They're inside snakes.
I hate snakes. I want it to be known that I am the enemy of snakes.
That sounds like you see a snake. You see like in a cage or whatever, or whatever they're in.
Hopefully.
And like you just like snap its neck.
See, I see snakes and I promise you, I think they know, like cats. I'm the enemy of cats too.
Okay.
Like cats see me and they're like, get him. And snakes see me and they're like, that's him. I think because like maybe I have like, sounds so crazy. Like, I think I have like a light about me, and I think I'm like very positive.
You're
a
very radiant, and good, like energy person.
And I think snakes are dark energy. I think it's like black magic. And I think they see me, and they just want to get me.
Oh Jesus, I love this episode.
All real stuff.
I believe no, and that's like like I'm terrified of roller coasters, but I've been trying to break this fear for a long time. In fact, me and John are going to record an episode eventually of us trying the Coney Island Cyclone.
I would say don't.
Why?
I feel like that place is dangerous. You could die. Like, I would say at least go to Six Flags so you know, like, you have less probability of dying.
You think the cyclone will...
Yes, Coney fucking Island?
Yeah, but it's John Scrabus. No one dies to John Scrabus.
What?
You know John Scrabus? No one dies to John Scrabus.
John Escabrus?
Scrabus.
What about him?
Her.
Oh, John Scrabus.
Yeah.
Oh, no one dies with Jonas.
Yeah, no one dies with her. She's like good, positive people.
Well, then I would say jump off a cliff with her.
Okay.
I actually love her to death.
She's one of my favorite people in the community.
Like, she was in my audition for Torco, and I was so sad when she didn't get on because I just wanted to play with her. I was like,
she's so much fun to play with.
She's so, I said I was the craziest in, shit, and she just was like, yeah. Yep, that.
I was in Gavin Spiller's Clash of Pelicans with her. And that's the only class I've ever been with her. I'm like, I want to play with you more often.
She's so fun, so supportive.
And, like, the nicest person out there. Well, one of the nicest. Well, I want to, like, get back to, like, hosting. So, like, how did you get into hosting?
I had my show at school, my own one-man show, which was, like, I hosted it. I hosted all the cabarets in college, which was the most fun thing for me was, like, writing bits for it and just, like, being kind of the voice of reason, like the insane voice of reason.
Right.
And then when I got to New York, I filmed a web series called Take Two the Show, where I interviewed like reality stars and hosted it. And it was the best. It was the most fun I've ever had. I feel like it was the most my humor thing I could do is like just talking to people.
So kind of like the way it'd be is like gay Scott Aukerman.
I don't know who that is, but yes, I'm gay. So yes.
But he's the host of Comedy Bang Bang.
I don't know that.
You should know Comedy Bang Bang.
What is it?
It's a podcast and a TV show.
Wow.
The TV show is a little bit more. I like the TV show a bit more because the podcast goes a little bit longer than it should, in my opinion.
Yeah. Not like this one.
No, this show I like to have this go as long as it needs to go.
I love it.
That's my whole theory of this podcast. If an episode needs to be 3 hours long, it'll be 3 hours long.
Love it to death.
This episode doesn't need to be 3 hours long. This needs
cool, because I'm going to go to the gym in 20 minutes.
Okay. And
is that okay?
That's fine.
I love it.
We're actually near the end anyways.
So. Great.
Yeah. You're like, I have a strict 1:30 gym appointment.
Goodbye. I have a hard out, Mark, so just pointing that out right now on the podcast.
Don't worry, we're almost done anyway, so. But,
Yeah, hosting to me is just like the best way to like get to know people. Like, bring up comedy and everyday things that people talk about. And I'm actually working on a show with UCB Comedy right now that I'm really excited about. Yeah. We wrote up a treatment. It's called That Stupid Pop Culture Roundup Show that you really shouldn't be watching. Oh, but you are. God. Please like and subscribe. And it's basically like a big parody of like E! News, but you're still getting the new segments.
If you need anyone for that, which I doubt you probably do, but
no, we can definitely do
because I'm together. Such a pop culture fiend.
I'm obsessed. I think it's such low hanging fruit, and I think it's people love talking about it. And if you can't find the humor in pop culture stuff,
get out.
You're an idiot.
Get out.
And the cool thing about the show is like, we're kind of making fun of the people that are watching the show while doing the show. Oh, but so like, good. But it's such in like a fun way where like one of our segments is called, all of this is, you know, don't talk about it, I guess, but it's one of the segments is called Meanwhile in Haiti, where we do like three like pop culture news segments, like Miley Cyrus, blah, 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 Kim Kardashian, blah, 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 Chris Brown, blah, blah, blah. Then we turn to another camera and go, meanwhile in Haiti, 7,000 kids have gone without clean water for 2 weeks, proving it to be the poorest country in the world.
Oh, no.
Back to Miley Cyrus. And so it's like...
Oh, so funny.
Yeah, so...
So terrible, but so funny.
Yeah. It's really fun, and I'm very excited about it. And it's supposed to launch this spring.
Oh, that's cool. Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, like, and also, like, I would love to see you, like, be, like, have your own, like, show on, like, E!
I would love it.
So everyone at E!, Andy Cohen, even though you're Bravo.
Even though he's Bravo.
You know, everyone at E!, get Mike Kelton.
Thank you.
Because he's amazing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What was that voice? You just, that sounded like the Nick Kroll publicity voice.
It's based on our names.
Oh, I'm going to miss the Kroll show.
Thank you. I love the Kroll show.
I think, like, it's so weird because I did not like Nicole for a very long time.
Yeah.
I associate him way too much with Caveman.
Oh, really?
Remember that show Caveman that was on? You remember the Geico Caveman commercials?
Yes.
They did a TV show that was, like, that same idea.
Oh, wow.
It was terrible.
Wow.
I watched, like, one episode, like, fuck this shit.
What was it on?
ABC.
Oh, wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah. But, I was, like, associating with that for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. I was like, ugh.
Well, that reminds me, the Kroll Show reminds me to plug Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which me and Morgan are almost done with.
Oh, Jesus, I can't. Would you think that'll be ready when it airs? Or
when is this going to air?
Monday.
No.
Okay.
But it will be, I know but that, like, give it like 2 weeks, folks.
Guys, Morgan talked about this, and Mike was talking about this too. Like, this is, the photos I've seen are painfully amazing.
It's honestly... It's so funny.
The makeup that you're in.
I showed it to my brother this weekend, yeah. And he didn't know it was me until halfway through. He goes, wait. I'm like, yeah, John, that's me. And he's like,
you're the tall one?
Oh, fuck. I mean, he loved it. He was like, yeah. I mean, he's so supportive. He's like, send it to SNL right away. And I was like, yeah, that's what we'll do.
But, yeah, if you want to keep it with Kardashians really quickly, you can.
Yeah, me and Morgan
are amazing together.
Thank you. I'm obsessed with her.
She is,
and what we make together is so fucking insane and supportive. It's just like, it's a beautiful, insane flower. And I like Keeping Up with the Kardashians is a good example of like us just never saying no. Like we have ideas. Literally, like, we have an idea for, like, we're like, okay, then how about the camera pans to Courtney and we ask her a question and all she says is probably up my butt. And I'm like, I love that, I love that. So we just said yes to every insane thing.
Yeah.
Like, we're like, in the middle of an episode, how about we say, like, where's Bruce? And then, like, he's just, like, riding a city bike. And he just goes, I'm Bruce Jenner. And I was like, I love it to death. So it's like,
oh,
so fucking weird and so funny.
I can't wait to watch this.
I can't wait to watch
this. Like, this is, like, as exciting as, like, Riley Saunders and Daily Affirmations.
Oh, my God. So fun.
Which was the most bizarre thing I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
Most bizarre. But the best.
Yeah. Okay, let's get ready to wrap up.
Love it.
So, Mike Kelton, what's something about you people might not know that you're okay sharing? I know you're an open book person, but there's got to be stuff about you.
This is, like, a thing I shared in practice last week. We were supposed to share, like, secrets. I used to be... I used to lie a lot.
Okay.
Growing up, I was like one of those kids that just lied about everything.
Yeah.
And in college, I said a lie about a friend, and it really blew up, and I, like, vowed to never lie again. So I'm, like, very honest now, especially, like, saying this is embarrassing, but, like, I don't know. I think it was, like, one of my biggest flaws as a human, and I don't think you should lie as people. I think even if it's not convenient for you or the person you love or the people around you,
yeah.
Even if you get in trouble for something that happens, I just say don't lie. It's like easier. It's an easier life living, honestly.
I fully agree with that. I mean, I don't lie unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah.
But, like, that's like I'm talking like life or death situations.
Yeah. Like, if there's someone, like,
I'd
about
rather
to be
honest.
Hung, yeah.
Like, yeah, I feel like if you're not being honest, you're treating your life wrong.
And also, it's hard to be funny or be compassionate if you lie.
Yeah.
You just can't. You can't do it.
Totally.
Don't lie, guys.
Guys, this is a message from Ike and Mark. Don't lie.
Don't lie.
Also, what about what's something you're looking forward to that does not involve you? Like a movie, a TV show, a book, a play?
Something? Wow, that's a hard question. What's something I'm looking forward to that does not involve me?
Oh, come on, man.
How selfish I am. I'm looking forward to... oh my god. This should be my secret. I'm really selfish. I'm looking forward to... my boyfriend is starting an art collaborative, which is why he's in the kitchen with his friends.
Right.
And he's starting an art collaborative, and he's looking to, like, create a retail space for artists, and I'm very excited for him
like, right next to my apartment, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't understand what it is, but it looks like an art store, but it's not an art store.
Great, yeah, I don't think...
Yeah.
I think it's similar, what they're doing.
It's a project? I don't understand. Like, mm-hmm. It's really, like, straight up art, so...
Yeah.
Hipster style.
Great. I love that. Yeah. I love when people do weird stuff and, you know, try and promote art, so I'm excited about that.
Art's the shit, man.
Art's the best.
In fact, I'm going to plug an art gallery right now that I haven't talked about, I think. The Beverly Hills John on 24th and 10th. I forget the gallery. It's, like, right past the High Line. But it's John Waters has his absurd art.
Oh, that's so cool.
And also
Waters.
Which also has, I love John Waters. I think he's a brilliant guy.
Brilliant.
Like, he understands what's sick and what to make people, like, make people squirm. In fact, so well, like, he recorded a 72-minute long version of Pink Flamingos, read by kids, called Kitty Flamingos.
Oh, wow.
Where he takes out the most profane stuff. And, like, but it's still Pink Flamingos.
Wow.
And it's painfully funny.
That's cool. That reminds me of the drag queens reading obituaries that I did.
Right, right, yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
Like a weird just concept thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
And it's a really amazing gallery. You can, like, be there for, like, 90 minutes easily. Just between, like, it's not the biggest gallery, but, like, the video itself, I watched, like, half of it. I was done.
Oh, that's really cool.
Like, I love Pink Flamingos a lot. And
yeah.
They do some very funny stuff in there.
Wow.
Okay. What about plugs for your Twitter, Tumblr, shows, Vines, etc.? I know you have, like, you're so well connected.
Thank you. I like being well connected.
You're one of the people I'd say, like, more well connected in social media than me, and I'm very well connected.
You are very well connected. I just think it's, like, a natural thing to, like, I like sharing things I find funny. So, like,
I'm trying to get better at Twitter, too, but that's harder.
I like Twitter because I like to just test out jokes and see what people think is funny. Follow me on Twitter. Please, God, follow me on fucking Twitter Mike Kelton, MikeKeltin. And, I basically post everything to there. And, if the show gets up and running with UCB, I'd love for you to check that out. I think it'll be really fucking dumb and funny.
Do you know any, like, Torco stuff you have coming up?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to University of Kansas on Thursday.
This won't be up Thursday. So this
two
will be,
days. In 2 days.
No, this will be up after that.
Oh, Steel Stacks Improv Festival.
Okay.
January 31st.
Oh, cool.
And we're doing the Improv Nerds podcast as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Improv Nerd, not Nerds.
Improv Nerd contest.
Yeah, because that's different.
Podcast. Yeah, I genuinely don't know that much about podcasts, so I, like, didn't know, but Improv Nerd podcast.
Yeah.
And we're doing a set, I think, which will be... As the podcast, I think.
I don't know that show well, but I know of the show.
Yeah, it's always just up my Facebook feed. I don't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Steel Sacks Improv Festival in Steel Sacks, Pennsylvania, January 31st. Tickets are online at probably something like steelsacksimprovfestival.com or something
I think that's
like
right.
That.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, just Google Steel Sacks Improv Festival.
They're really amazing.
Or, if
there.
You go on my website, honestly, mikehelton.com, all my shows, I have them listed... which is, like, a big thing for 2015.
I think you guys should just go to his website, period.
Honestly, go to my website.
It's a really good website.
You'll see Mark being really cool.
Doing very nice things to you.
Really nice things.
That sounds so dirty.
Goodbye. with that.
Okay, my plugs quickly. Actually, we got a lot of plugs right now. Just some, all of them I'm very excited about. So I'm at MarkLeeB85. If you want to, that's a Twitter. If you want to email the show, htmpod@gmail.com. I'm doing my first OSFUG ever.
Oh my God, congrats!
I think it was so exciting in the character showcase.
Yes.
I got a really unique character for me, because I'm going completely against type with this.
Nice. So you're going to be a Republican?
No. I'm going to be a Pope. No.
Oh wow!
No, no. I'm gonna. It's gonna be January 31st at 11:30 p.m. at UCB East. Yeah. And also, if you guys missed it the first time I did it, I'll be doing a thing that actually, of all things, Mike Kelton helped inspired. At Matt and Betsy Do Music at UCB East. Yay. on Saturday, February 7th. When you guys did that, a little Shop of Horrors thing, mm-hmm. that inspired me to do my thing that I did 2 months later, that will be happening again on February 7th at 7 p.m. at UCB East. Tickets are on sale, I think, for both. I'm not sure. But
probably.
Definitely on sale for the OSFUG. I think both are $5 so. Which I'm really, really excited about both shows, because
that's awesome.
I love this Man Betsy bit, and what I'm writing for OSFUG is going to be a really unique character.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And also, Fallen Socks has a lot of shows coming up. Most current one will be also on the 31st at the Creek in the Cave at the Supernova Galaxy show at 5:30 p.m. That'll be free. Come see anything Fallen Socks, because everyone on that team is a fucking genius and insane, and they're amazing people to play with and great people.
Have the best time of your life.
I will. You too, man.
Thanks.
Mike, this has been incredible. Thank you so much for having me over at your apartment.
Of course. Up top.
Yep. And I'll see you guys next time I hit the mark.